Al Jazeera Podcasts.
Today, the latest on the killing of seven aid workers in Gaza.
An Al Jazeera investigation has found that the Israeli military intentionally targeted the World Central Kitchen convoy in three consecutive airstrikes.
What do we know about what happened and why? I'm Kevin Hurton, and this is The Take. Al Jazeera has been following this story since it first happened.
My name is Alex Katopoulos. I'm defense editor for Al Jazeera English TV, and I live here in Doha.
Al Jazeera's verification agency, SENED, has been investigating Israel's attack on the World Central Kitchen convoy, and Alex has been on the air reporting this story. Let's start with some basic facts. What happened, where this happened, and who was killed?
Okay. The attack took place in Gaza. Seven aid workers were killed when their convoy was attacked by the Israeli military.
Among the dead, 43-year-old Zomi Frankum from Australia, a longtime volunteer, a Polish man, three British nationals, a dual Canadian-American citizen, and their Palestinian driver.
This took place on the evening of April the 1st. And they were traveling down the coastal road that runs north to south when they were struck several times. World Central Kitchen is pretty much the NGO, the aid agency that is responsible for distributing food aid. They had been distributing this food for several weeks. And as you can imagine, they're operating in a war zone, effectively, a very hot war zone. So they were very, very careful about telling the Israeli military where they were, what their plans were, what their cars looked like. Their cars were clearly identified. They were clearly marked from the air, logos all over them. So it was very, very obvious who they were.
So it's not just the fact that this aid convoy was hit, it's the way it happened.
Yes.
An Al Jazeera investigation has concluded that this convoy was intentionally targeted.
Yes.
And when you look at the timeline of just how the attack played out, I mean, the facts are really damning. Can you walk us through exactly how this unfolded, the successive strikes?
Absolutely. So the convoy itself, after reporting its position, left the warehouse at about 10:30 at night. They drove for about 3-4 kilometers getting to the coastal road to head down. This is one of the main arteries. It's one of the main roads that is used in Gaza. Bear in mind that there is no traffic on the roads because there's no fuel. So the only cars on the roads are from aid agencies or Israeli military vehicles. When it got to the coastal road, the first car was hit. Now, we're not exactly sure on the composition of each casualty, but we know there were survivors from this car. The other two cars stopped, picked up the survivors, put them in the second car. That drove about 800 meters down the road from the first attack where that car was hit and everybody inside was killed. The third car tried to escape, drove about 1,600 meters further, so just over a kilometer and a half. And this time it had veered off the road to try and get away from being such an obvious target. It too was identified and destroyed. So three strikes spaced by time and also distance, killing everybody.
So Israel claims that this was an accident.
The IDF completed a preliminary debrief. I want to be very clear. The strike was not carried out with the intention of harming WCK aid workers. It was a mistake that followed a misidentification at night during a war in a very complex conditions. It shouldn't have happened.
But we know this is not the first time they've targeted aid workers.
While these are the first foreign aid workers killed in Gaza, almost 200 Palestinians working with the UN have also died, along with civilians trying to get food.
It's important to remind people it is a war crime to target aid workers. That you just laid out the facts. How would it even be possible for this to be an accident?
With great difficulty, because In all likelihood, this all bears the hallmarks of a drone strike. Now, drones are CCTV cameras in the sky. You've got high-resolution cameras. They're primarily designed for surveillance. So they would have been watched. This convoy would have been observed. They're traveling closely in a formation that no Hamas operative would ever dream of doing. There's no Hamas operative would even think of traveling in a close three-vehicle convoy out in the open because it would be suicidal. And the only reason the aid agencies and World Central Kitchen felt safe doing that is because their security consultants had liaised with the Israeli military, telling them where they were, etc. So you have three vehicles that are being observed. Now, this isn't the act of, an errant pilot who is exhausted and seeing something that he or she identifies as an enemy and attacks them. This is very calculated. The data, the pictures, the images from a drone are beamed back, not just to the drone operator pilot, but to his or her commanding officer, a room full of intelligence analysts, possibly lawyers, senior military officials, imagery intelligence specialists, counterterrorism specialists, you name it. Now, this wouldn't have been a decision that the drone operator would have made themselves. This would have been an order that was given. You see the first car being hit. You see the people from the second car dragging out survivors and put them in the first. And then you hit that car as well. And then the other one that tries to run away, you hunt that down and you kill everybody in that car too. I mean, this was absolutely methodical and deliberate.
So with that in mind, I asked Alex the burning question that's been on my mind and probably the minds of many others. What could the Israeli army possibly have to gain from this?
I mean, you wonder. We don't know the reason, but we can certainly look at the effects. And the effects are aid has slowed down to a trickle.
The head of the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency says Israel is no longer approving its food convoys to the north of Gaza. It's been 2 months since the agency was allowed to deliver aid to the region.
The Israeli government, the World Central Kitchen certainly doesn't feel safe after the killing of seven of its employees in distributing aid.
World Central Kitchen and other private aid agencies have now stopped operations in Gaza, and ships with more than 200 tons of aid have turned back.
So no aid is being distributed, or very, very little. This compounds the suffering of people within Gaza, who, by the way, cannot get away. The gates are barred into Gaza by the Israeli military. They can easily be lifted.
Yeah.
There are hundreds and hundreds of trucks waiting outside with aid that can easily be delivered. So this is a choice. This is a choice.
What does World Central Kitchen and the rest of the world have to say? That's after the break.
The Inside Story podcast dissects, analyzes, and helps define major global stories. We get into the details with experts who explain how policies affect people. The Inside Story podcast by Al Jazeera. Find us wherever you listen to podcasts.
Before this strike, World Central Kitchen was known, in part, for the famous chef leading the organization.
José Andrés is the founder of World Central Kitchen. He's a celebrity chef whose activism and charity has earned him deep respect among policymakers.
Days after the attack, Andrés demanded a neutral investigation.
If we were targeted this way, I need to understand that this was not by somebody that is above law and order.
Saying humanitarians and civilians should never be paying the consequences of war.
Seems this is a war against humanity itself.
So, Alex, tell me about World Central Kitchen and the role that it's played in the aid mission in Gaza so far.
World Central Kitchen has been, you know, pivotal in distributing food aid, and especially the food aid that has arrived by ship from Cyprus. And that's the idea, to go to places where there is conflict, where there have been natural disasters, and basically feed people. It's a very, very straightforward agency that has no political affiliations and has made a genuine attempt at trying to alleviate suffering.
Including in Israel, right? This is one of the aid groups that has actual purchase in Israel because of the role that they played after the October 7th attack.
Right. That is one of the reasons why they were allowed in as well, because they were seen to be fair dealers. So they have been pivotal in distributing this. I mean, we're talking about more than 1.5 million people who are running out of food, who have been declared food insecure and bordering on famine.
Whole swathes of this territory are completely cut off from food. The few functioning hospitals that remain are now filling with children starving to death.
And famine has one of those dynamics that people are hungry, they're hungry, they're hungry, and then they'll start dying, and they'll start dying quickly.
The UN says that by not allowing food into Gaza, starvation is being used as a weapon of war.
That stage is not that far off. It's not like they've been eating well for the last 5 months and then suddenly they're not eating for the last, you know, month and not eating much at all. This has been going on now for months, months and months since October.
That's compounded with severe mental and physical trauma too. So the immune systems are weakened. I mean, it just could not be worse.
Yes, very much so.
Amidst a flood of day-to-day killings and atrocities, this incident has broken through. And look, we could debate why that is, the value the media might put on Western lives versus Palestinian lives. But the fact is, it has sparked real outrage from some of Israel's closest allies. Can you tell us about some of the notable reactions you're seeing?
Well, I mean, Prime Minister Albanese in Australia has condemned the attacks.
Australia expects full accountability for the deaths of aid workers, which is completely unacceptable.
People have condemned the attacks.
The White House has described Biden as outraged by the attack.
Leaders have condemned the attacks.
The president called Chef Jose Andres to express that he's heartbroken by this news of the airstrike that killed 7 aid workers and to express and share his deepest condolences. The president
Nothing really has been done because those same leaders have given Israel carte blanche to be able to behave, a blank check, if you will, to be able to behave as they want to. There's no mechanism for reining the Israeli military in. So it's glaringly obvious in the age of social media, when everybody can see these pictures, try as governments might to try and downplay it. When you're watching these things, it looks, hang on a sec here, there are holes in the roofs of these cars. You know, it is very obvious that something struck them from above on purpose. And then you find out that, well, they'd actually told the Israeli military about their positions and they were operating there. They were about the only people on the roads. Then you start to go, okay, this doesn't look good at all. So the governments themselves might condemn this, but nothing in practical terms is being done. Weapons are still being transferred in vast amounts, in vast amounts.
In fact, the very same day the Israeli airstrikes killed the 7 World Central Kitchen volunteers, the U.S. authorized thousands of pounds of bombs to be transferred to Israel. That's according to the Washington Post. And despite increasing pressure, both from outside and within the U.S. to slow the arms transfers, the flow of weapons hasn't stopped.
President Biden greenlighting billions of dollars worth of weapons for Israel.
The new arms package is meant to include 1,800 of the most destructive bombs used in Gaza.
You're talking about highly built-up areas, one of the most densely populated areas on Earth, and you are dropping 2,000-pound bombs there where, sure, your AI targeting system might tell you there's a Hamas operative there, but I don't know if that AI system is also saying, well, guess what, there are also 10 families in the same block of flats, the apartment block that you are bringing down and obliterating this 2,000-pound bomb.
Yeah, I think Gaza is twice the size of Washington, D.C., where I lived for years, and just imagine a 2,000-pound bomb going off anywhere in the city.
Imagine that Washington was walled in and then assaulted from the air by an advanced air force and bombed pretty much flat. The infrastructure was targeted. So all the shops, sewage, treatment plants, electricity generating units, and 32,000 people had died, and God knows how many are buried under the rubble, I don't know. I think the outcry, quite rightly, would be severe.
Do you think it's possible that that's one of the reasons this attack has broken through, that it's allowed people to pull back a little bit and see this conflict with a tiny bit of distance, with a little more humanity?
Maybe, because aid agencies, especially if they're not linked to Arab states, are seen in the public eye as honest brokers, are there to help, are trying to do decent work in a very, very difficult environment. So the very fact that they were chased down and targeted and killed strikes most people as wrong.
World Central Kitchen announced it will no longer operate in Gaza. And look, who can blame them? I mean,
right.
These images that you talked about of clearly marked trucks with holes blown through the roof, these have been seen all over the world now. But Alex, there's another image. It's the 240 tons of aid on ships turning around from Cyprus.
240 tons of undelivered aid is now heading back to Cyprus because of this attack on a car, killing 7 aid workers.
That's the image that may have the most immediate effect on the people of Gaza. And so am I right to assume that more people will suffer, more children will suffer and perhaps die because of this attack?
More of everybody will suffer. It's not just the children. I mean, that's awful too. It's the women, the men, everybody, old, young. There is no food going into Gaza, or very, very little food is going into Gaza. A tiny fraction of what's needed. And it's only since the infrastructure has been smashed, there is no way for them to get the food other than from aid agencies or from these airdrops, which are minuscule, by the way. A truck would hold about 6 pallets. So it gives you an idea, when you're seeing these pallets coming down from the sky, that's probably about 2 trucks worth. And Gaza, pre-October the 7th, needed 500 trucks a day in order to feed everybody in the enclave. So we're talking about less than 1% of what's needed. Now, there are ships being turned around. That has just exacerbated what is an awful situation on the ground.
And that's The Take. This episode was produced by Khalid Sultan and Miranda Lin, with Amy Walters, Ashish Malhotra, Chloe K. Lee, David Enders, Farhanisa Kampana, Nagin Oliayi, Sari El-Khalili, Sonia Bhagat, Zainab Badr, and me, Kevin Hurton, in for Malika Bilal. Our sound designer is Alex Roldan. Alexander Locke is The Take's executive producer. And Ney Alvarez is Al Jazeera's head of audio. We'll be back tomorrow.